That's why two are better than one, because there is a power in agreement that if God links me up with the person that is just right for me, together we're going to be stronger. Together we're going to walk forward. Together we're going to be everything that God wants us to be. Come on, if you're not married, I'm getting to you in just a moment, but let me reflect for just a few moments to give some husbands and wives an opportunity to shout amen. If you are blessed with a helper, you are very blessed. Yes. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And so I would say to the husbands, you should nourish and cherish the relationship you have with your wife and recognize every day that she is God's gift to you. So love her and respect her and honor her until Jesus comes. Teach them how to say amen. Here we go, one more time. Love her and honor her and respect her until Jesus comes.
Amen.
That's what I'm talking about. Some of you husbands, your meal today depends on your response right now. My goodness, I'm trying to help you out. I thought we had a great seminar. We got to start all over. Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Your wife is worthy of every consideration. She is worthy of unconditional love, unconditional respect. And in so doing, you are showing the world this is how Jesus loves the church. On the good days, he loves the church. On the bad days, he loves the church. If every responsibility is handled with excellence, he loves the church. But if we drop the ball, he loves the church. Husbands, love your wives. The way Christ loves the church. Amen. Praise God. I know I'm going to have a good evening. I'm getting old. I got to get all the good evenings I can have. Come on, I got some elders that are helping me figure some stuff out. I don't want to learn the hard way. Help me now. There is power in agreement. If every husband and every wife could look at each other with that sense, even though there's times we don't agree and sometimes we don't even get along, I know that God has put us together and I know that we are more powerful when we are together. There is something we can do for God as husband and wife that we couldn't do by ourselves. In fact, I say to the wives now, let every one of you in particular so honor or reverence your why are your husband? I messed that one up. Rewind the tape, please. It's got to be in here somewhere. Wasn't there a verse for the wives? Oh my goodness, help me out here. Can you guys find it back there? What's that? Is that it? Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Oh, help me out, wives. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. We learned this weekend that that word reverence really means respect. That the way that you show love to your husband is by honoring him and respecting him. And we even covered the cases where perhaps there may come some sort of situation where you think he don't deserve my respect. No, amen. Even in that case, God says you find a way to honor his role as your husband. That doesn't mean you're just going to let him walk all over the world and do all kinds of crazy stuff and mess you up real bad. No, that's not the point. But somehow, some way, I'm going to reverence, I'm going to respect, I'm going to honor that God has blessed me with a husband. And with that husband, together, we can do something great for God. Amen. Whoo, I'm excited about this because there is power in agreement. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And so our husbands are busy loving their wives, and our wives are busy loving their husbands with the understanding if we can get in agreement, if we can stay in agreement, there is a spiritual blessing and a spiritual power. The reason why I'm preaching this way is because there's some marriages and families that right now you need some miracles. And even though you're good people, there are areas where the enemy would maybe fight against your marriage or fight against your kids, or perhaps even on the job there's struggles, or even in your health there are issues. It seems like sometimes it's just life, but other times it's the enemy of your soul that wants to destroy you. But I'm here to serve notice on the devil. I don't stand by myself. I've got a wife that loves God, and there is power in our agreement, and there's something about us getting together and believing God that's going to push back the devil, push back hell, and push back every force of darkness, and God is going to bless me. Come on, I know there's some folks that are not married, but thank God for the church where you could link up with a brother, you could link up with a sister and say, come on, let's agree together. Hell can't have my home. Hell can't have my heart. Come on, there is power in agreement. I will be healed. I will be blessed. I will be rescued. Oh, let's clap our hands together. Praise God. I want to throw this in. I'm not going to stay here because it's a little heavy duty, but you need to consider it today. The spiritual well-being of your very family is greatly enhanced when you walk together in agreement. By the same token, you need to understand that if you let disagreement get a hold of that marriage, I'm not saying that you can't have disagreements, but you can't let a spirit come into that marriage that causes disagreement to lead to discord, and there's no unity, and then there's bitterness, and then there's resentment. That can be deadly spiritually, and in that kind of atmosphere, the enemy can come in, and it's one thing to lose your marriage. That would be a horrible tragedy. My family lived through that. My mom and dad divorced when I was 7. There was a lot of hang-ups and setbacks that were a part of my life because of that. But even beyond that tragedy, the greatest tragedy is to lose your soul. And so I'm trying to say, husbands and wives, we got to get an agreement. Husbands and wives, we got to stand shoulder and shoulder, and we got to face the devil and say, not in my house, not in my family, not with my kids. I will not be defeated. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, David ushers in the presence of the Lord, the ark of the Lord. He comes in with shouting and with the sound of a trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord comes into the city, David is there worshiping, and Michal, Saul's daughter, looks through a window. This is David's wife, and she sees David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. Now, I don't think she had to jump out that window and roll on the floor, but there was a disconnect there. There was a disagreement there. There was discord there. Because somehow David recognized, I've got to have the presence of the Lord. I've got to have the power of God. I need the Lord in my life. In fact, if you read a little bit further, I won't read it all now to save a little bit of time, but Michael and David have a conversation where she literally ridicules David for being a worshiper. She embarrasses David and tries to shame him because of the way he acted in the presence of the Lord. And look at verse 21, what David says to his wife. It was before the Lord who chose me before thy father and before all his house to appoint me ruler. And he said, he appointed me ruler over the people of the Lord and over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord. And I will yet be more vile than thus, and will be base in my own sight, and of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of, them shall I be had in honor. Somehow David's wife, Michal, she looked at David as if to say, you know, you're the king. And kings don't act that way. You have a position of authority, and so you have to act with all kinds of sophistication, and you've got to make sure that you carry yourself with a little bit of aloofness, and all of them can do all that crazy worship, but not you. You have a place of prominence. You shouldn't be doing that. And David says, sweetheart, what you don't realize is everything I am because of God. Everything we have because of God. And baby, you ain't seen nothing yet. I will play before the Lord. I will worship. I will sing. I will dance. I will shout. I will twirl. Because without God, we have nothing. The last part of that verse, verse 23, says, therefore Michal, the daughter of Saul, the wife of David, had no child unto the day of her death. I don't know why that happened. Did God punish her? I don't want to say that. Maybe. Maybe David drifted apart. Because he was made to feel ashamed because of his love for God. I don't want to speculate, but I do want to make the point that somehow Michal missed it. That there is a power in agreement. And when God blesses a husband and wife with whatever he blesses us with, some may be blessed with a great job. Others may be blessed with a close family. Some may be blessed with money in the bank. Others may be blessed because all of your kids are relatively healthy. Who knows? But there has to be a mentality in that husband and wife. There has to be the power of agreement that says, come Sunday, we're going to the house of the Lord, because we realize everything I have is because of God. Everything I am is because of God. And I know our personalities are different. And somewhere in the household, there may be a husband that knows how to pick them up and put them down. Or it may be a wife that knows how to jump or run and worship. I'm not trying to tell you how to worship, but I am telling you that husbands and wives, we need to be in agreement. Wherever we get a chance to worship the Lord, it's no holds barred. I'm going to give my best to him. And maybe you're not as expressive as your spouse, but I tell you what, when you get in the car, why don't you say, way to worship, honey. That was awesome. You inspired me. You encouraged me. You know why? Because there's power in agreement. There's power in agreement. I don't want to miss it like Michal missed it. I got in this habit. You don't have to do this. But I've noticed when I sit with my wife in church, there's sometimes I just want to sit there. Just let me borrow your seat for just a second. Oh, here's one over here. I'm just enjoying. But you know, my wife, she's sitting by me. And first song, she's like, I'm like, give me a break. But you know what I've determined? You don't have to do this. I'm not making this some spiritual gauge. I'm just telling you how I am. If she's going to stand, I'm going to stand. If she's going to clap, I'm going to clap. If she's going to worship, I'm going to worship. You know why? Because there's going to be an agreement in our home that God is worthy. And there's something about that that is powerful. I know not everybody gets to do that. I know not everybody has a husband or wife that will join them in that. But every single one of us need to understand there is power in agreement. There is power in agreement. And I know it's God that's blessed me. I know it's God that's helped me. I know it's God that's done his thing for me. Now, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. There's times I leave my wife in the dust. Because I can, yeah. Don't get yourself in trouble. You should hear the message that's being preached back here. It's a much better message. She don't worship the way I worship on every occasion. I'm not demanding that of her. I'm not asking that of her. But you know what? She has never given me that look like, who do you think you are? She has never gotten in that car with that cold stare like, boy, you're supposed to be the pastor. I'm trying to tell us, husbands and wives, let's get together. Maybe we are created different and we worship different, but let our passion be the same. Our God is worthy, and whatever I can do to worship, I'm going to worship, and my spouse is going to be in agreement with me. And together, we're going to lift up Jesus because we know we need the grace of God. We need the mercy of God. We need the power of God. And there is power in agreement. There, come on. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. So every now and then, show forth the praises. Show forth the praises of him that has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Praise God. There's power in agreement, my brothers and sisters. I said there's power in agreement. And so I beg you, I better slow down a little bit. If you have a spouse that is passionate about serving the Lord, live in agreement with your spouse. Don't drag them down. Don't be critical even in your spirit. Link up with them. Be in agreement with them. Come on, honey. We were at the church last night. We were at the church for that other special. Can we just lay back tonight? Well, if your spouse agrees, you and your spouse worked it out, but if you got one of those spouses, hey, I'm sorry, man. I got to be there. I don't want to. Please, I beg you. I urge you, get in agreement with your spouse. Live in agreement with your spouse because there is power in that agreement. I know there's times when I have to be in church and my wife's not there. Maybe the other way around where she's here and I'm not here. And I know that happens. I'm not trying to cause us to judge each other, but I am saying let's be careful. When my wife is in church, there ought to be something about me that says, I want to be in the presence of the Lord. If my husband's in church, there ought to be something that says, I want to be there lifting him, because there is a power in agreement. If your spouse is passionate about worshiping, live in agreement with your spouse. Amen. If your spouse is passionate about keeping Jesus first, live in agreement with that spouse, because there's power in agreement. I got an email this week. This is an awesome email. Here's the email. My husband and I agreed to increase our pledge for missions. Our finances were tight. This put a strain on our budget, but we did the faith promise anyway. and we increased our giving. The boss called me in and gave me a raise 12 times the amount of our increase. One of our elders testified recently in a service, said, when we did that faith promise, I wanted to give an amount, but my wife wanted to give an amount that was even higher. They came to an agreement. I'm trying to tell you something. There is power in agreement. Husbands and wives, let's get together. And whoever's got the most passion for the things of God, why don't you lift up your level of dedication and commitment to link it up with your spouse and say, come on, together. Together, we're going to live for God. Together, we're going to serve the Lord. Together, we're going to see every miracle we need in our home. Together, we're going to see victories. Together, we're going to have power. Together, we're going to see the will of God. I'm going to have to get my wife to do that next time. No offense. But I know you're together with me. I know we're in agreement. But it just looks better. And I know she. I'm going to go for her. You go for yours. Sister Bibb, anytime you want, there's a seat right here. In fact, we'll clear up room. You'll be all can sit together. I'm wanting somebody to get a word from the Lord today. That there are things the enemy would have you to believe, that your family's kind of stuck in the rut where you are, but you're not stuck. You just need to get an agreement. You know why you're stuck? Because you can't walk together unless you want to agree. And you've got one spouse that's made up their mind. We got to get everything God has for us. We've got to have revival in our home. We've got to see every miracle he promises. Meanwhile, we got another spouse. You might not be full of the devil, but you're just distracted. And that's why you're stuck. That's why you're not moving forward. But today, God's got a word for you. How can we walk together except we be agreed? But if we can walk in agreement, my God, the devil's going to be defeated. The windows of heaven are going to be open. Our lives are going to be blessed because that's the power of agreement. That's the power of agreement. Praise God. I know there's times, at least in my marriage, I got permission to say this, don't stress. There's times we disagree. I am hard to live with. I thought you'd go with me on that one. I guess you ain't hard to live with. Where's Sister Bibb? Stay close. But you know what I discovered? We can disagree and not be disagreeable. I can still love her and she can still respect me even though there's a disagreement, and sometimes it can be heated. But at the end of the day, we know we gotta walk together. We got to walk together. Because, yeah, there may be disagreement. There may be a problem. We may have to work this out. We may even get some help to help us work it out. But when all of that is done, we cannot walk together unless we are in agreement. So somehow, some way, we realize there is so much power in agreement that I'm not going to let some little disagreement, some little grievance, some little problem, some little personality conflict, I refuse to let that undermine a marriage that God wants to bless and God wants to empower, because there is power in agreement. Praise God. And so I say to every spouse, don't ever put your spouse down because they are wanting to lift Jesus up. If it's in their worship or their giving or their serving, don't try to suppress that. Don't try to be negative and critical about that. You need to walk in agreement with them. You know, it would be one thing to say, well, bless God, he wants to do all that at church, but I know how he is at home. Please be careful, because at least you're getting something at church. I worked with young people for years, and I used to get this from their parents. You know, Brother Linder, When my kid's at church hanging out with you, he shouts, he dances, he speaks in tongues, but at home, he won't even clean his room. Now, as a youth pastor, I worked on that. I tried to get them to clean their room, but I also tried to get the parents to see that's just human nature. And we all got flesh. And we're hoping sooner or later, if we keep walking in the right direction, the Holy Ghost is going to help us with all that other mess. But it's going to be hard for the Holy Ghost to take your spouse higher if you keep pulling them down, being critical and being negative and complaining and criticizing. Why don't you just thank God? You know what? He was a devil at home on Saturday, but at least on Sunday, he put his praise on. Maybe we're inching just a little bit closer to the goal because there's power in agreement. I know that's hard. I know that's hard. That's why I'm the pastor. I can say what's hard, easy. No, not really. That didn't sound good. But I know it's hard. And so if you're here and that just hit you like, oh, because your spouse is a no good. I'm glad you didn't say anything there either. Can you just accept from me a telegram from the Lord? There is power in agreement. And maybe there's so many areas where you feel like, man, this is a ship that is sinking. I want to find some way to encourage our direction in the way that God wants us to go. I want to be loving. I want to be respectful. I want to be full of faith that even though now, Pastor, you have no idea how broken I can tell you right now, there are times, and you'll never be able to figure out the people, but there are times that I have sat with people, and I thought when we left the meeting, there is no way that marriage is going to survive. There is no way that she's going to recover from the way he's treated her. Or there's no way that he's going to recover from the way that she's treated him. But I've seen the Holy Ghost, as long as I could keep them in the church, as long as I could keep them together, I've seen the Holy Ghost move. I know not every marriage makes it. I know some families go through hell. My own family, my mom, she had to live without a husband. But I'm trying to tell somebody, there is power in agreement. There is power in agreement. I wonder if you lift your hands right now and in your own way you'd pray for your marriage and pray for your family and pray for the marriages of this church and pray for the families of this church that we will receive every blessing, we will receive every victory, we will receive every miracle that God has for us. Can you say in Jesus' name? Now, here's the last part of this message. Now, you can stay comfortably seated because it's a long last part. It's not enough for us to be in agreement with each other. Together, we must be in agreement with Jesus Christ. There has to be something get a hold of every husband and every wife that acknowledges together. Why don't you come help me? The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Order my steps in your word and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. As long as she has a husband that's in the word, as long as she has a husband that's obeying the word, it may be hard to go in the direction that the will of God is, but we are determined. We cannot walk together unless we agree. So we've got to agree with each other and we've got to agree with God. God, if your word says it, we're walking this way. It's a lonely walk, and sometimes it's a hard walk, but we're walking together. She's never going to make me go there by myself. She's never going to make me do it on my own, but as long as she knows I'm in the book, as long as she knows I've got Bible, there may be people that don't understand. There may be people that give up on me, but I can guarantee you that if we're walking together with each other and with God, she will never leave my side. I will never leave her side. You know why? Because there's power in agreement. There's power. Come on, sweetheart. If you've got a husband that says we've got to obey God, if you've got a wife that says we've got to do what the Bible says, walk with them. Walk with them. Walk with them.
Thank
Can you say in Jesus' name? Can you imagine? I'm just making this up. But can you imagine? A couple gets in the car, a husband and wife, and one of them says, I don't like what he preached. And the other one says, me neither. Who does he think he is? You know, there's power in agreement. And you know, he may have just woke up with a bad attitude. Actually, I may have woke up with a bad attitude. But if somebody comes alongside at just the right time and agrees with that kind of attitude, it can be powerful. They can end up leaving the church because there's power in agreement. What if they're sitting at home and she's cooked a great dinner and they're sitting there just enjoying each other? And a subject comes up about a Bible doctrine. And she says, you know, I don't really think that's relevant to our day. And he says, yeah, you're probably right. There's power in agreement. If in that moment, that spouse that's feeling the doubt, the speculation, maybe their faith is being shaken. If that other spouse could come along and say, no, sweetheart, let's stay in the word. Let's trust in, you got to be loving. You got to be respectful. You can't force your opinion down somebody's throat. But it's so important at that moment that we realize it's not enough that we walk together in agreement. We have to walk with him in agreement. So if you spout off something that's really not Bible, if you spout off something that's really not the will of God, I've got to be careful. I've got to be loving. I've got to be respectful. But I cannot agree with that because I know it's not enough to agree with you. We have to agree with him. And the reality is, it's way more subtle than that. It's the slow, steady decline, the drifting away from what used to matter, from what I used to believe, what I used to do, how I used to serve. And the spouse sits idly by and does not recognize there is power in agreement. I know there's a drifting. I know we're not what we used to be. If I could just get my spouse to pray with me, if I could just get my spouse to be back in the word with me, if I could just get my spouse to be in the altar with me, there's power in agreement. How are you going to do it? You can't force it. You just got to be loving. You've got to be careful. You've got to be respectful. But you need to be persistent. And whatever happens, you cannot agree with each other without agreeing with him. If you're sitting with your spouse, come help me again. I'm sorry about this. Would you take him by the hand? And just pray a simple prayer. Lord Jesus, help us to agree with you as we walk together. Help us, Lord, to recognize that the devil is a sly old fox. And I want to make sure, Lord, that if my spouse starts to drift in some area, that with love and with respect, I try to get them to see by the grace of God, by the mercy of God, I try to help them to understand it's not enough that we agree with each other. It's not enough that we have a great marriage. It's not enough that we have fun when it's just us. We have to agree with God. Because there's power in agreement. Can you say in Jesus' name? Hey, would you feel bad just to sit here for just a few minutes? Probably the last thing you want to do, but you know, all that up and down and back and forth. And you don't have to do this ever again. You haven't had to do it ever before, right? All right. Now, I'm going to use an example here that is extreme. So I'm telling you in advance that it's extreme, All right, don't everybody walk out of here and say, he's crazy. But it's an extreme example, but it makes a powerful point. Those of you that study the Bible, when I say Acts 5, you immediately say, don't go there. Because that's Ananias and Sapphira. Whoa. I was reading that. You know, there's some things I wish God didn't put in the Bible. Because that's a hard one to explain to the new people. Because Ananias and Sapphira were good, godly people. And I don't know all the details. The Bible gives us some, but it really does not identify, other than this, that somehow whatever they did was gauged as them lying to the Holy Ghost. And here's the verse that leaps out at me today. Acts 5 and verse 9. The apostle Peter is talking to Sapphira. That's right. I'm telling you, it's got me spooked. And Peter says unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together? Everybody say agreed together. How is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and they shall carry thee out. Now, time out, everybody. That's an extreme case. That's an extreme case. But it does show us that it is possible for a husband and a wife to agree together to tempt the Lord. It is possible for a husband and a wife to help each other justify looking the part, but not really living the part. Now, God doesn't strike people down dead for that, because we all struggle with things. I could think of a bunch of stuff that God could strike me down dead for. But it does show you the power of agreement. That if you're blessed with a godly husband, or you're blessed with a godly wife, I beg you that if your spouse wavers, or forget about marriage for a moment, maybe it's your best friend in the church, if their faith falters, whoever they are, if somebody close to you rebels against God, love them and respect them, but do not walk in agreement with them. Because you would be tempting the Lord to just justify their actions, their attitude, their rebellion. Love them, respect them, but don't walk in agreement. Remember Job? Job and his wife, and they got beat up real bad. So bad that Job's wife, her faith shook to the point that she said, why don't you just curse God and die? Now, all of us preachers like to beat up on Job's wife, but none of us experienced the loss that she experienced. And I heard a preacher explain it this way, and it blew me away. So if it blows you away, it's not me. It was this other preacher. He's awesome. He said, note what Job's wife said. She said, Job, dost thou still maintain your integrity? Why is she talking like that? She just lost everything. Integrity's got to be the last thing on her mind. But rewind the tape. When the devil accused Job, the devil said, if you take everything from him, he will not walk with you in integrity. And the devil found a way through the hurt and the pain and the bitterness to get that spouse to repeat what he was accusing Job of. Wow. And so Job, He didn't cuss his wife. He didn't divorce his wife. But he didn't agree with his wife. He said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And guess what? When they got through all that mess, his wife was right there beside him. Yeah, her faith faltered. And yeah, she said something she was probably embarrassed of. But thank God her husband didn't go down that road with her. Thank God her husband had enough understanding to say, I agree with you in most things, but I cannot agree with you if that means I don't agree with him. And so no matter what, in order to save my marriage, in order to save my family, in order to save my future, I love you, I respect you, but I've got to agree with him. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Though he slay me, yet will I serve him. And in the end, the family made it, the wife made it. God bless. Oh, would you clap your hands as if to say, there's power in agreement. There's power in agreement. Come on, husband. Come on, wife. We can make it. We can be victorious. We can serve God. We can be in church. Can you say amen? Yes. Don't be the kind of spouse that helps your spouse give up on God. Love your spouse, respect your spouse. Don't agree with your spouse on some of those points. Find everything you can agree with, but don't agree on walking away from God. Don't agree on drifting away from your commitment and your faithfulness. Don't agree with that. Be respectful, be loving. And if there's times you gotta come by yourself, just come and know that this church is going to love you. We're not going to judge your spouse. We're probably not even going to ask a lot of questions. We're just going to trust God that if you just keep walking in agreement with him, if you just keep walking in agreement with him, you love your spouse, respect your spouse. You try to help them any way you can. But really, at the end of the day, there's power in agreement. And the best chance your spouse has, the best chance your family has, is somebody in that household that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I may be the only one at times, but though none go with me, I'm going to follow him. I'm going to love him. I'm going to serve him. Praise God. I'm moving past marriage here as we close. Don't be the kind of best friend that helps your best friend backslide because he or she is living a double life. And you think it's the honorable thing to just stay with them, love them, and respect them. But you've got to make it clear, I'm not going that way. I'm not going that way. Because when you come to yourself, there's got to be a church with at least one person like me that's going to love you back, that's going to help you back. That's still going to be living and believing everything we need to live and believe so that we can be what Jesus wants us to be. Because there's power in agreement. I was contemplating marriage. I know this sounds humorous. I've been married and loving it. I'm just going to be honest and maybe it'll help somebody. When I was single, and this is so stupid, forgive me for using that word. I apologize to the little ones. I used to say, well, if I get married, great. If not, who cares? I got it. But when I got married, I realized, man, that was crazy. That was ridiculous. Same thing about kids, man. If we have kids, great. If not, who needs them? I don't have to share the Xbox if it's just me and you. But then when I had kids, oh my goodness, I wouldn't want to live without my kids. And you spouses know that. You parents know that. Grandparents, ever, you know that if you have that experience. But I remember, because I was in the ministry and I was being used of God, nothing like the way God has blessed in the way we're privileged to serve here, but it felt good at the time. And a preacher came to me and he said something that some of you may think is crazy, but he said, Harold, he used my street name. God uses that name too. He just called it. God's never said, hey, pastor. I'm like, hey. He said, Harold, one shall chase 1,000. Two shall chase 10,000. And he was saying, you know, when you link up with a godly wife, there is going to be a power. There is going to be an anointing. And every single spouse has that here today. If you have a spouse that even remotely has faith in God, you're way better off. You're way better off than either having a spouse that doesn't believe in God or not having a spouse. There's something about the agreement. And as I said before, if you're here and you're not married, but you are in the church and you've got a brother or a sister that you know, as sure as the devil starts messing, you can get up with that brother and you can say, brother, let's agree together. Let's agree together. Yeah, so I know I preach to husbands and wives, but if you're in the church, if you're in the church, you've got the opportunity to experience the power of agreement. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. But let's be honest, you can't walk together with anybody if you're not in agreement. If you're not in the church, if you're not faithful to church, if you haven't invested in church. But if this is your church, look around you. It's surrounded with brothers and sisters that you're walking with. You're not in this by yourself. You're not doing this alone. But together, we are walking in agreement with him. And as sure as something happens, put up that last scripture, Matthew chapter 18. Jesus promised, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Let's all stand. Now, husbands, if your wife is close enough to you, if your spouse is in ministry somewhere in the building and this is not possible, understand. But if there are spouses that want to do this, I want you in just a moment to come to the altar and stand and raise your spouse's hand and say, Lord, you promised us that if we would agree together, whatever we bind on earth, whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And we don't understand everything that scripture means, but there's power in agreement. So we agree together for blessing for our family and whatever you're facing in your home. Maybe there's a challenge with health or finance or with the kids, or maybe it's just you want to be more of what God's called you to be. In just a moment, when you come to the altar, you come with your spouse and say, in the name of Jesus, we agree together for blessing and victory. And if you're not here with a spouse, or perhaps you feel led to link up with a friend, brothers with brothers and sisters with sisters, come with them to the altar. You might want to put a hand on a shoulder. You might want to take them by the hand, or you just might want to stand together. But whoever it is, I want you to agree together. Blessings for my brother. Blessings for my sister, because there's power in agreement. Would you come? Everybody come. Everybody come with somebody and believe. Come on, young people can come with young people. Come on, men can come with men, and women can come with women, and husbands can come with wives, and together we can say, there is power in agreement. There is power in agreement. There is power in agreement. I'm going to see God's blessing. I'm going to see God's favor. I'm going to see God's victory. I'm going to have my miracle. Oh, this is beautiful. This is powerful. This is awesome. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ.